5. The book of Isaiah and to chapter 55. We'll commence to read at the verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. And Isaiah, among Bible commentators, is known as the evangelical prophet. He was, of course, an evangelist who presented the message of the coming Messiah. He was a man who preached the gospel, the good news, that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world to save sinners. We have this man prophesying of the birth of Christ in chapter 7. In the chapter 40, we have him prophesying the ministry of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the chapter 53, that very well-known chapter, which perhaps you have learnt in Sabbath school, we have God's servant writing about the Saviour's sufferings and death. As we read through the prophecy of Isaiah, we can see very clearly how this man preached and prophesied the gospel message in a very simple and in a very plain fashion. And indeed, so plain is the gospel message set forth in the prophecy of Isaiah that the great Protestant reformer, Philip Melanchthon, he declared when he was preaching at the funeral of his colleague Martin Luther, around that open gravesite that day, Philip Melanchthon declared that the pure message of the gospel was most clearly set forth by five men. And those five men, in the opinion of Philip Melanchthon, were Isaiah, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, Augustine, and his friend and colleague, Martin Luther. The gospel message is clearly seen. right throughout this prophecy. Here's a man who lays emphasis on the message of redemption. As we looked at it this morning, we could see how Isaiah could see beyond the nation of Israel and how the Gentiles would be brought into the redeemed church of God. As you read through this prophecy, you can see how the Lord, through the lips of his servant, gives a simple invitation to sinners. Way back there in chapter 1 and the verse 18, God gives an invitation to the lost. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Over there in chapter 45, in the verse 22, we have there another great invitation. Spurgeon's text. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Here in the verse 1 of chapter 55, God is giving another invitation to sinners. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We're taking verse 1 tonight as our text. As we consider this verse together tonight, let us look at the subject of the gospel invitation. Notice with me, first of all, the persons who are addressed in the invitation. Our text begins with the words, Ho, everyone that thirsteth. That word, ho, at the beginning of our text, it's like the cry of a salesman down in the marketplace. You can picture a salesman standing there at a stall. He's calling out to those who are passing by. And here we have the Lord himself calling out to those who pass by. Ho there, everyone. Young man, young woman, older person, listen up. Here's something that you need. I've got something for you. Here's something that is worth your attention. Here's a cry that goes out to all men who are busy with the cares of this life. You who are in need tonight. You who are in want. Ho, everyone. Or this invitation is not just addressed to some. It's not just addressed to the rich or to the poor, to the young person or the older person, to the black man or to the white man. No, here's an invitation that goes out without exception to every man and woman, boy and girl under the sun. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. It's an arousing invitation. Everyone who is thirsty, you who have no money, come ye by and eat. You who are thirsty, you're welcome to come and drink at the fountain of living waters. You who are spiritually bankrupt, you're welcome to come by and eat. Every man and woman, boy and girl, born into this world at some stage or another, will experience hunger and thirst during their lifetime. You take, for example, a newborn baby. The wee lad, he's lying there in his cot, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, he starts to roar. He starts to cry. Why? Because he has a need. He's thirsty. He's hungry. He wants fed. And out of love, the parent will get up and feed him. And sinners tonight are in a state of spiritual thirst. Spiritual bankruptcy. They have absolutely nothing with which to pay for their soul's salvation. The scriptures tell us that all of their righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Tonight mankind is spiritually parched. He's bankrupt because of sin. Men tonight are spiritually bankrupt because of sin. Adam and Eve's first transgression against God. There in the Garden of Eden, our first parents fell from that pristine state wherein they were created by sinning against the holy God. There in the sight of God, Adam was spiritually naked. He was physically naked In the sight of a holy God, there was absolutely nothing that Adam could do to cover over his sin. He tried fig leaves, it was no good. In the sight of a holy God, the Lord had to provide a covering for Adam's sin. Sin had made a mess of him. Sin had scorched him. It had taken him further from God than he ever wanted to go. Adam was left spiritually bankrupt in the sight of a holy God. Dear sinner friend tonight, that's a spiritual picture of you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what age you are. If you're here tonight without the Savior, you're spiritually naked in the sight of a holy God. Spiritually bankrupt. Oh, my friend, here in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, we have an invitation for you. You know, if you were physically sick, wouldn't you be eligible to go and see a doctor? It's the same spiritually speaking. You who are physically sick with sin, you're eligible to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy and for pardon tonight. There's pardon tonight for the whosoever will. Oh, friend, don't think tonight that you're too far gone in sin. Don't think that the things that you have got up to are too big for the Lord to cleanse away. I don't care what your past track record might be. Oh, it mightn't make very pleasant reading. I'm quite sure that if your past track record was written up on this wall behind me in black and white, for every individual to see and to read for themselves, I'm quite sure you would never come to this church again out of embarrassment and shame. My friend, I do not care the things that you have got up to. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12 and the verse 31. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Oh, my friend, what encouraging words they are. There's pardon tonight for the whosoever will. Oh, yes, your sin might have soared as high as Mount Everest. But thank God, God's flood from Calvary's mountain can go over the highest peak of your sin tonight. There's blood available to cleanse you from sin. Here's a gospel invitation for you, sinner, tonight. And can you tell me and give me one reason that if this gospel invitation is not for you, then why are we commanded in God's word to tell it to you? For didn't Jesus say, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? You'll agree with me, friend, tonight, that every creature includes you. You're included in this invitation here. In Isaiah 55 and verse 1, why on earth would God give out an invitation to sinners if he intends to bar the door of heaven in their faces? There's a multitude of people in heaven tonight who were at one point in their lifetime as guilty as you. We've already thought of Adam and Eve. You think of Saul of Tarsus. Come further in history to the great hymn writer John Newton. A man who lived an unclean and immoral life, who broke his mother's heart, a blasphemer, a man who was involved in the slave trade, taking men from their home, selling them in the marketplace for profit, selling the black man out of Africa for profit, a man who couldn't say one sentence without putting several swear words into it, a man with an unclean tongue, yet he heard the gospel. He heeded the invitation. Tonight he's in God's heaven, saved by God's redeeming grace. Oh, my friend, here's the same invitation as extended to you tonight in the gospel. You who are thirsty for salvation, you're welcome to come. You who are thirsty for assurance, maybe you doubt your salvation tonight. You're thirsty for assurance. Well, my friend, you're welcome to come. You who are thirsty for restoration, you're a backslider. Once walked well with the Lord. My friend, this invitation is for you also. You who are thirsty, you who are in need, ho everyone, the persons who are addressed. Notice with me in the second place, the place that sinners are invited to. Our text, verse 1, continues with the words, "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk." Water is one of those essential commodities of life. There's none of us can do without it. We need water to live. Water has been the most suitable, the simplest, the purest form of drink for all men of all ages. Man requires it to live. Water is particularly precious in certain parts of this world. Oh, they don't get the same amount of rainfall that you and I do here in Ulster. You think of certain parts of the African continent, certain parts of the Middle East. And in Bible times, water, wine and milk, they were staples in the diet of the people who lived there. Wine and water and milk provided nourishment and sustenance for the body. When we turn to the scriptures, we find that milk is a symbol of spiritual nourishment. For we read there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 2, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow thereby." The milk of the word is needed for spiritual growth. We think of wine in the scripture. It's a symbol of spiritual gladness. For there in Psalm 104 and the verse 15 we read, "Wine maketh glad the heart of man." These commodities that are mentioned in our text, they are figurative of the spiritual nourishment of the gospel. The spiritual value of the gospel. These blessings bring salvation. They cheer the hearts of sinners. They are blessings that are rich and satisfying compared to with what the world has to offer. And the man or the woman, the boy or the girl who receives the gospel has all that his soul can possibly need for time and for eternity. You notice here in our text that there's an abundant supply. "Come ye to the waters." It's in the plural. The waters. There's a vast expanse of waters here. There's a vast supply to meet the demand of all who will come and drink freely at the fountain of living waters. You know, friend, the Lord's mercy, that fountain of living waters, it's not like some little trickle of water that flows up in the hills between here and Limavady that nearly ran dry when a cow drank from it. No, my friend, there's an abundant supply for every man and woman, boy and girl, for every thirsty sinner. You who are thirsty for pardon, for assurance, for forgiveness. You who are heavy laden tonight. Jesus says, "Come ye to the waters." Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a fountain that flows from Calvary's mountain. And it's Jesus' precious blood. It's the blood of Christ tonight alone that cleanses from all sin. There's a fountain there that shall never run dry. There's an abundant supply for every applicant who will come and drink by faith. You'll notice here in our text, three times we have the invitation, "Come." And twice that invitation is doubled up with the word "ye." Come ye. Oh dear sinner friend, that's what you are to do. That's your responsibility. You are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the healing waters tonight. There's a thirst quencher for the thirsty, guilty sinner. Come ye to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, tonight the Lord has a medicine to heal your sin-sick soul. There are garments tonight to cover and to clothe your spiritual nakedness. Oh, don't think tonight that you're too black with sin, for here there are waters to wash in and to make you clean. The blood of Christ is all in all. The Lord Jesus Christ has power tonight to save you in your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, His arm, well, you can be sure about it, it's long enough to reach you. It's strong enough to lift you out of the mire and out of the pit. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save the most thirsty of sinners, the guiltiest of sinners, the worst of sinners, the vilest of sinners. Dear friend, I've got news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ has already saved the worst of sinners. For there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15, we read the words concerning Saul of Tarsus, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord Jesus Christ has already saved the worst of men. Dear friend, He's able to save you also. There's no individual in this meeting tonight need ever die of thirst and spiritual starvation, because there is absolutely no such thing as drought or famine in God's land of free and sovereign grace. Therefore, sinner, tonight, don't reject the invitation in the gospel. Don't turn a deaf ear to the gospel call. Don't scorn the invitation in the gospel. Come ye to the waters. That's your responsibility. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a certain preacher in the Highlands of Scotland many years ago who was visiting around the members of his congregation. One day, it was his duty to go and to visit a certain farmer that attended his church way up in the Highlands. During the course of the conversation, the wee farmer said to the preacher, "You know, sir, if I'm one of the elect, I'm going to be saved anyhow. And if I'm not, well, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it." And the preacher turned to the farmer and he says, "You know, sir, that's a very fatalistic remark to make. And what's more, sir, I believe that you're worse than your cows. Because the other day, as I was passing by your farm, I saw your cows entering in through the open door of the byre, and they didn't stop to wonder whether it was for them or not." You know, sinner, there's an illustration in the gospel. Don't stop and wonder tonight whether the gospel is for you or not. The door is open where you can go in. The Lord Jesus Christ is that way. You need to be like that farmer's cows and entered in to the byre. Thank God tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Oh, friend, tonight, don't try and make yourself ready. Don't try and make yourself better. Leave your purse and your wallet behind you. Come with an empty hand tonight. Reach out in faith. Come believing to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to the appointed source. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. That fountain was opened up at the place called Calvary for guilty sinners like you and me. Friend, tonight you're welcome to come to Jesus. Come to the appointed source. Notice with me lastly the price that is mentioned in the invitation. The text concludes with the words, "without money and without price." When God saves a man, he is saved because God freely saves him. He's not saved because God foresaw that he would repent. He's not saved because God foresaw something good in him in the future. He's not saved because he deserved it or because he merited it. No, he's saved because God freely saves him. It's without money and it's without price. Salvation is not obtained by human merit. The great Spurgeon said these words, "The day that Adam fell and was driven out of the Garden of Eden, that same day the words human merit were blotted out of the dictionary of truth." How true that is. Yet, why is it? There's a multitude of men and women tonight, and they're trying to make a deal with God. They're trying to barter with God. Yet when you tell them in the plainest and most simplest of terms that salvation is free, it's without money and it's without price, my, they think there's something wrong. They think you've misquoted Scripture. Well, surely you haven't read it right. Well, surely I have to do this and I have to do that. They cannot accept that they can have all things in the gospel for nothing. Some men think that because they are slow to forgive others, their trespasses against them, but somehow or another God also is slow to forgive men their trespasses against them. Other men tell us that the only things in life that we get for nothing are those things that are good for nothing. They tell us that sure no man would work for nothing. Man doesn't trade for nothing. He trades for a profit. And they cannot understand why the gospel is free. Man doesn't like to be told tonight that he's a spiritual pauper, that he's bankrupt in the sight of a holy God, that he's scorched by sin. And yet man turns around and tries to make a deal with God. You think of the prodigal son. The Bible tells us that when he came to himself, oh yes, that old idea of paying was still up here in his head. For didn't he want to go home and be a hired servant? He wanted to pay for his restoration. And yet he was a young man who was surprised at the freeness of the Father's love to him. World religions today are all about money. You think of the religion of Islam, how the Muslim will pay out large sums of money to go on pilgrimage to Mecca. He'd pay out large sums of money to go to Medina, to kiss the black stone, to throw stones at the devil, as they think. You think of the poor Roman Catholic. He will also fork out large sums of money to go to Knock in County Mayo, to go to Lourdes in France, to go on the pilgrimage, try and get himself quicker into heaven. My, there, as he goes to Knock in County Mayo, he'd pay a fortune for holy water to try and wash away his sin. He'd go to Kirkpatrick and climb up that mountain in his bare feet, count his beads as he goes, saying prayers, getting to the top of the mountain. A priest there will say Mass, they'll walk around the chapel 7 times. He'd head over to St. Patrick's bed. He'd get down on his knees. He'd pray. He'd say the rosary. He'd go down the mountain in his bare feet, counting his beads, saying prayers, hoping it'll get him into heaven. Yet, men and women, the gospel is free. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all. The poor Roman Catholic tries to pay for his salvation, not just when he's alive, but his relations try to pay for it when he's dead. Yet Mass is said to get him out of purgatory and into heaven. My friend, there's no such thing found in the gospel. It's without money. It's without price. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ standing in this church in Coleraine tonight, and he's offering sinners the open-handed gospel. It's without money. It's without price. Again, Mr. Spurgeon says, and you can picture it in your mind's eye, as if the doors of heaven have been burst open and nearly taken off their hinges, and the cry can't be got out quick enough. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Dear sinner, why should it surprise you that salvation is free? For let me ask you a question. How much do you pay for the fresh air that you breathe? Nothing. How much do you pay for the sunlight that you enjoy? Absolutely nothing. It's God's free gift to you. Why should it surprise you that salvation is without money and without price. Oh yes, it's free tonight to the whosoever will. But it was given to lost mankind at an infinite cost. For it cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. It's without price for sinners because it's priceless. There upon that middle tree on Calvary's hill, the blessed Son of God laid down his life, a ransom price of lost sinners. There upon the cross, the divine wrath of a holy God was poured out upon his Son in our guilty room and in our stead. The Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. Scriptures tell us he became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My friend, let's face up to some facts tonight. Sin will be paid for. It will either be paid by you, the individual, when divine wrath is poured upon you in a lost sinner's hell, or you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died in the sinner's place, who suffered divine wrath in your place. I wonder what is it going to be for you? Would you rather pay for it yourself? Well, surely not. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight for pardon and for forgiveness. There was a preacher many years ago in the land of Wales, and he went to a coal mine on a certain day around the hour of 12 o'clock midday to tell out the gospel message to the coal miners. When he got to the coal face that day, he met the foreman who was on his way to the mine shaft. And he stopped him and he asked him a few questions. And he asked him what he thought of God's salvation. The foreman says, "Oh, it's far too cheap. I could never believe in a religion like that." And the preacher then turned to him and he began to ask him some simple questions about his place of employment. And he asked him, "Well, sir, how do you get out of the mine pit?" And he says, "Well, you have to get into the cage and the cable will take you to the top." He says to him then, "Well, does it take long to get to the top?" "No, only a few minutes." The preacher says, "Well, that's very simple. You just have to get into the cage. The cable will turn and it'll take you to the top." "That's right. Well, do you not have to try and help the cage? Do you not have to try and take some of the weight off the cage? Jump up and down a few times. Help the cage to get up to the top." The foreman looked at him and he smiled and says, "No, sir, don't be stupid. You just have to get into the cage." Preacher then turned to him and he says, "Well, what about that shaft? Is it deep? Did it cost much to make it?" And the foreman says, "Oh, yes, sir. That shaft is 1,800 feet deep. And it was sunk at a great cost to the proprietors, but it's our only way up to the surface. And it is quick as a flash." The preacher turned to the foreman and he says, "Sir, when God's word tells you that salvation is without money and without price, and you say it's far too cheap, you forget that God's work to bring you and millions of others like you out of the pit of destruction and death was accomplished at a great cost, being the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through that simple illustration that man could relate to, it led to his conversion." Dear friend, tonight the illustration is simple in the gospel. There is one shaft out of the mine pit of sin, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You miss him, you miss heaven. Just like the coal miners there in that mine pit in Wales. You had to get into the cage. My friend, you need to come into the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. For safety and for forgiveness. I wonder, when death comes, where will you be? Will you be doomed in hell and curse with an unquenched thirst? Or will you be with God eternally? The psalmist tells us, "He brought me up out of an horrible pit, and out of a miry clay set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Psalm 40 and the verse 2. My friend, tonight, as we close our meeting, you're invited to come to the waters, the fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words in our text, everyone, they are like another great gospel word, whosoever. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to come tonight. Come and drink a full salvation. You'll never thirst again. Come to the appointed source. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. May the Holy Spirit tonight direct you in the direction of Christ and give you the grace to come to Him for His name's sake. Let's close on one.